Tim said earlier. Brother Tim said, you know, you need to guard your resources, guard your wealth, guard your spiritual gifts. And, you know, that's a good thing. Stewardship does involve guarding. But if we go away from here thinking that stewardship is just guarding what I have and protecting it, then I don't think we'll fully understand stewardship. Part of stewardship is having resources and then being able to use them. Like if you run a store, if you're a manager of a store, you don't just let inventory sit on the shelves. You try to get rid of it as soon as possible so you can move more inventory, especially if it's like something perishable. So if we have wealth, we're not supposed to sit on it. If we have spiritual gifts, we're not supposed to sit on them. We're supposed to use them. Proverbs 11, starting at verse 24, says, "One gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it." And then one verse down, "Whoever trusts in his riches will follow, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." I know I sometimes have the idea, okay, I have this certain amount of money and I need to save this much and take care of it, and saving's good, but if I'm looking at stewardship like I just need to protect what I have, then probably I'm not the steward that the Lord wants. And, you know, that's all I'll ever have. There's this paradox of Christian living where when you use what you have and when you give it away, the Lord provides you with more. And that goes for money, and that goes for spiritual things, and sometimes with time too.
That's a very good clarification. Because the word guard here, it doesn't mean set it upon a shelf. It means use it wisely. And don't waste it. Don't drop your guard and spend whatever it is that you're guarding frivolously. Mm-hmm. It means to protect it like a soldier would as he's walking the soldier's walk. Not their beat, that's a cop, but... Yeah, well, not a march, but they're guarding.
The post?
Yeah, the post. Thank you. So he's protecting his post, and he's not dropping his guard, letting anything in. This is the idea, to be wise. So I appreciate that clarification. It's not guarding it as, well, I only have so much money, so I'm not going to spend it. No. That's, you use it wisely. But the other part of stewardship is that God is no man's debtor. You can't outgive God. And God is no man's debtor. So use it wisely. Use it for God.
I think it's a basic comment, but if you're a steward, you've got to realize that what you have really isn't yours. And I think that's really critical, to realize that it's you're a manager of what is somebody else's. And you need to give an account to that person of how you used their resources. I think that's a different way of thinking than what we have in our culture.
I was going to say, what this brother said reminded me a lot of what the Pharisees did, who hoarded both their money and the mysteries of God. And I think this parable was directed towards them. Their position was being taken away. And I think Paul is an example of one of those unjust stewards who, as a Pharisee, left that behind and ran around all over the world basically telling people, guess what? Grace is real. And the unjust steward's message was a message of grace. You think you owe this. Actually, you don't. And so Paul spent not only his physical goods, he was a tent maker and he put that towards the spread of the gospel, but also he did not hoard the mysteries of God. And so Luke was very concerned with the gospel going to the Gentiles. As a Gentile, I think that's part of what's going on in this parable. And I think to that point for us, do we hoard the spiritual mysteries of God that have been revealed to us, even as in the assembly? Do we guard them, sort of to play off that same word? Do we feel like we're guarding them kind of the way the Pharisees did, protecting them, setting up this hedge around them? Or do we feel like Paul, spending and being spent, that we might be better stewards. That's the kind of steward I think that God is looking for his mysteries and also for the financial stuff that we've been given.
Just very quickly, that makes me think of this point. Sometimes it's said, well, am I allowed even to have anything in this life? We don't want to judge those who have more than us and say, well, you know, they should be given more away. That's not our place. Two companion truths. One, enjoy life. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So you don't have to say, well, I must live on bread and water. I must live in a little hut. I must, ride my bicycle to work instead of have a car. Enjoy life. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But, companion truth, avoid extravagance. There's a verse in Proverbs, I don't remember where it is. It says, the one who loves plenty of oil and wine will soon have plenty of poverty. That's essentially the expression. If you have oil and wine enough, you'll have poverty enough. So enjoy the things of life. God, we can enjoy earthly things, but avoid extravagance, because extravagance takes away the things that are not ours, and it causes us to use more than we need on things that don't produce eternal value.
And this is a wonderful point to transition to, because what not only has God entrusted us as stewards of these natural things and opportunities that we've been talking about, but because we are believers, because we are children of God, he does something even over and above that. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it tells us, as everyone has received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is First Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And so what we have as believers is a gift by grace, a unique outfitting that God has done for those whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this text, it's a general statement of the gift. We can go and you can spend time studying Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 to look at specific gifts. But I think the principle that is being highlighted by Peter is the grace now has reached you and has equipped me with a specific purpose. And as a steward of that grace, I am now employed in a service. And so that's why service is a discipline. I no longer live to myself, 2 Corinthians tells us. Because not only, you know, the steward is a general purpose, you know, a responsibility, our being believers, we are heightened to the understanding that we're accountable to God for all that he gives us. But now, in terms of being a believer and a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm even heightened further, because now I've been given a specific enablement with the intent that I may be able to serve. And so 2 Corinthians says, in that Christ died, then we're all dead, that they who now live shall no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died and rose again. Now, this grace of which we're now stewards, we now recognize that we have links with one another. We have links to the body of Christ. We have links in which now we have an opportunity to serve. And this service is an interesting thing to look at, because the service is several layers, and we're going to look at them really quickly. To be a servant, though, is one who's an attendant, one who waits on someone, who runs errands. It's one who is devoted to seeing the one being served, is their needs are being met. And so it's a very tremendous obligation and a tremendous discipline that we no longer live to ourselves. We live in a world, and to be, you know, realistic, we have this mentality. What do I get out of it? What am I going to get out of it? Or what's in it for me? I'm not going to the meeting because I don't get anything out of it. Right? You've heard that? Mm-hmm. Maybe you even said it. The challenge is to understand that God has gifted each of us so that we might be in joint of supply. I think it's in Ephesians. Mm-hmm. That we might in love serve one another. So the question ought to be, how can I help? How can I make a situation better? How can I serve my brothers and sisters?